Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What's Up at the Owl's Nest. I'm your host, Matt Terry, and who do I have here at the Owl's Nest today? Why, I have Bradley Blair, Chesapeake Gallery Coordinator here at Harford Community College. Bradley, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's always a good day when we have artsy folks here on the Owl's Nest, and you are one of those. Talk to me, man. This is the first time that you've been here on the Owl's Nest. Give me a little history about yourself and a little history about the Chesapeake Art Gallery.
For sure. My name's Brad Blair. I started in the arts when I was in high school. I got interested into those, and I went to John Carroll High School in Bel Air. From there, I went on to Towson University, and I got my undergraduate degree in 2009, and then went on to Florida State to get my MFA degree, focusing in ceramics and sculpture, and that was in 2014. So after 2014, I came back to Maryland, and I started searching for jobs and working on my art, and I started to teach adjunct ceramics, at Towson University. I teach at Baltimore Clay Works in Mount Washington.
Awesome.
And a place called the New Phoenix Pottery in Cockeysville. And of course, as well as here at Harford Community College as the Chesapeake Gallery Coordinator. So prior to going to Towson, I actually spent a year and a half here at Harford Community College focusing in the arts. And this is kind of where my ceramics background kind of blossomed here. And
right.
It really took me off to the next. And when I went to Towson with a couple years in my belt at Harford Community College, it made such a difference at Towson.
So you're a fellow alum.
That's right.
And as am I. Say, listen, Brad, talk to me about your role at the gallery.
For sure. So aside from managing the artist submissions and scheduling future exhibitions, I make sure I lay out and install all the incoming shows. I de-install the shows. I photograph all the shows for our records. I work with artists directly, especially when they come in from out of town, which a lot of them do. They'll fly in from out of town just to come see their exhibit or to help me install their shows. And then I'll prep all the marketing materials for every exhibition and make sure people around the campus are aware of everything. And of course, welcoming guests and keeping the gallery nice and clean and presentable for everybody.
Well, hey, that's just as important, right?
For sure.
A nice clean space.
That's right.
Is a great space to have to display art.
Yep.
Well, you're one heck of an artist, man. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, thank you.
Fellow Harford Countyan, right?
That's right. Yep, from Street, Maryland.
Oh, hey, I know exactly where that is. I got two
Great.
Best friends that live up there.
Excellent.
So give me a little history about the art gallery.
For sure. So the Chesapeake Gallery was established in the early 1980s by a woman named Nancy Clapp, who was an artist and faculty member at the time. It was originally held at, or the gallery itself was in the Chesapeake Center building, which hence the name the Chesapeake Gallery.
Sure.
It was in a smaller storage room at first, and then it moved into a larger room up front in the Chesapeake Center, and then in 1999 is when it moved to the Student Center, where it currently is today. We're the only gallery between Baltimore and Wilmington, Delaware, exclusively exhibiting contemporary art and design work. Throughout the years, we've had thousands of local, regional, national, and student artists exhibit in the Chesapeake Gallery since its origination.
Well, you know, we want to make sure we have some sort of a venue for our students to display their work, because we have some really
sure.
young, budding artists here in the HCC community, don't we?
That's right. Yeah, for sure. So every year, when I came on board about 4 years ago, mostly the exhibitions were from local artists, regional artists, and faculty members, and of course the students here at HCC. After I came in, I kind of wanted to implement broadening the range of how we achieve artists and reaching artists here at Harford Community College.
Cool.
So I started a call for entries, so a national call for entries, to get artists to apply from really around the nation or around the world. So every year I've been doing that. I've got about 100 entries or applicants, mostly from the United States, but we always get a few from different countries. But all around the country. So it's really nice to kind of broaden that pool of applicants to the Chesapeake Gallery.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we want to hear from everybody, right?
For sure, for sure.
You know, see as many different types of works of art, different
yeah.
forms of media and mediums altogether. You know,
definitely.
There's just so much out there.
There is, and it's good exposure for the students here at HCC too, as well as the campus community.
Absolutely. So is it open to the public?
It is. So the Chesapeake Gallery is open to the public with the same hours as the Student Center building. We're located on the second floor of the Student Center, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 7, and then Saturday, 8:30 to 4:30.
Excellent. So if you are, you know, a person who's living in Harford County and you want to see some good art, come to the Chesapeake Art Gallery, right?
For sure, yeah. It's a great place to kind of expose yourself, your family, your friends, to all kinds of unique artwork. So the way, if I can get into just so quickly how we select the artists from our applicant pool, we have
a
committee, we call it the Gallery and Arts on Campus Committee, which is composed of myself, full-time art faculty members, a student member, and then a non-art faculty or staff member, I'm sorry. So we have different viewpoints and different perspectives on the applicants, and
sure.
We all have a kind of a voting process. So we narrowed that number of about 100 applicants down to about 6 or 7, and that's how we, you know, select exhibitions for the future. And then from there, we do that 2 years in advance. So currently we're booked through 2023 at the gallery.
Wow.
Which is great.
That's spectacular. But you mentioned a really good concept right there. You're getting probably hundreds of submissions. How do you weed through all of that to select just a handful?
Yeah, for sure. So it's kind of tough. Everyone has different interests, and so when we do a voting process, so all the members of the committee vote on every single artist applicant. They vote on like how skillful they are, the craftsmanship, how they would relate to the campus community and to our students, and if the artist is able to come to the exhibition, would they be able to do a speech or a workshop or something like that to engage the students in the campus?
Right. Well, we're all about engaging the community, engaging
for sure,
our students.
For sure. Yeah. So all those kind of play into the fact and how we select. Yep.
Absolutely. Hey, got another question for you.
For sure.
What's coming up? Because there's never not something in the Chesapeake Art Gallery.
That's right. If there is, it's only in between exhibitions. So right now, we actually are in between exhibitions. Our next exhibition is the exciting Annual Art and Design Faculty and Staff Exhibition, which runs through Monday, January 20th, through Friday, February 21st. This annual exhibit began sometime in the 1980s and has been occurring, you know, every year since then. It's always a highlight of the year. People always want to come see what their teachers make, and you know, it's a huge variety of work. You know, that's the other thing is I don't know what to expect. It's just kind of lots of different work gets dropped off, and I assemble it and, you know, set up the exhibition. But it's one of the best exhibitions of the year for sure.
Hey, on the note of exhibitions, what, in your opinion, because, you know, art is, you know, subjective to
for
opinion.
Sure. Yes, yes.
What's one of the most memorable exhibitions that you can remember in the last 4 years that we've had?
Let's think. So my most memorable exhibition is probably the student exhibitions, and it's memorable every year because so many students come in with so many different perspectives and lots of new fresh ideas and whatever they're learning, and they come in. So even to me as an artist, it's inspiring to see what new students, upcoming students, are using as their materials and their inspirations. So I'm always inspired by that show specifically.
What's some of the most unique types of media that our students are using, or artists in general that you found? I know that some artists use wood, some use clay, some use cardboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Some use... I've seen art made out of stacked chairs before.
Right. It's so subjective, and, you know, all materials go when it comes to art. So
sure.
I think what interests me the most is when people mix materials and they kind of do things that are out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, combined various mediums into one sculpture or one 2D work. So I don't know about a specific material, but I like the blend of multiple materials, which I think creates more of an interesting work lots of times.
Absolutely. You know, when you add different types of textures, you know,
for
it
sure.
Visually just becomes really appealing.
Yeah, yeah.
So just before we sat down to have our interview, you told me about the Arts Fest. Talk to me about that.
So the Arts Fest was formerly known as Winter Doldrums, and this has been an annual event that's been going on for many, many years, and it always happens in wintertime, typically in February. And Arts Fest is the rebranding and the new name for this year. And it's Sunday, February 9th from 3 to 5:30 p.m. And every year guests start at the Chesapeake Center for musical performances from faculty members. And then from there, they walk over to the Student Center building where we have more live music, food, drinks, and of course the annual faculty and staff exhibition in the Chesapeake Gallery. So we encourage everyone to kind of come take parts in the arts and see the music and the visual arts and hang out with everybody and enjoy the evening.
Where can they get tickets at?
Yeah, so it's free with an HCC ID. Otherwise, you want to go to live@harford.com. And tickets for this event are $15.
Well, a reasonable price to pay for, you know, such great experiences here that we offer our students and the public at Harford Community College. So Brad, what's next after the faculty show? There's always something happening.
For sure. So after the faculty and staff exhibition, we have an artist from Kentucky. His name is Garrett Hansen, and the exhibition is called Hail. He is a photographer and teaches photography as a professor at the University of Kentucky. His work photographs bullets and bullet holes, and he photographs them in a beautiful way and has kind of a way between showing the beauty within destruction, and he hints at our current issues in this country of gun control. So I think it's a relevant topic, especially of Baltimore, and
absolutely,
it should be a really nice photography exhibition coming up.
Well, that sounds like something to definitely look forward to.
For sure. And following that, if I could just plug the student show again real quick, because it is one of my favorites. So after the Hail exhibition, we have the annual Juried Student Art and Design exhibition, another annual show that's been going on, this one actually since the 70s, prior to the Chesapeake Gallery. And it's been giving students their first exhibition opportunity to show their artwork for years and years and years. Many times it's their first opportunity to see their work in a gallery setting. So we have every year we have a different juror. So our Gallery and Arts on Campus committee will meet up and select an outside juror. This year's juror is John Lundak. He's the assistant professor of sculpture and sculpture area coordinator head from Towson University. So John actually had a show here at the Chesapeake Gallery a few years ago, so we got to know him a little bit, and we wanted to invite him back to be this year's student show juror. So quickly how this works is that the students come in and they apply, you know, around three pieces a person, and it quickly adds up. We typically have around 175 applicants for this show, and the gallery is filled with work.
Wow.
So John's job this year will come in and select a show from those 175 applicants and probably select around 25 to 30 works. So that's it should be a great exhibit, and that's April 24th through May 22nd.
Can't wait. There's just so much art
here
on campus at Harford Community College. Music, photography, mixed media, you name it. Bradley Blair, Chesapeake Gallery Coordinator here at Harford Community College. We'll put it in and install it.
That's right.
And curate.
For sure.
Bradley, I want to thank you for coming down here to the Owl's Nest. So many wonderful things happening at the Chesapeake Art Gallery. I'd love to have you back on again.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate you having me. And for more information, please go to harford.edu/Chesapeake Gallery.
Bradley Blair, Chesapeake Gallery Coordinator here at Harford Community College. You've been tuned in to the Owl's Nest.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome back to What's Up at the Owl's Nest. And who do I have here in the Owl's Nest? Today, I have Dr. Pamela Pape Lindstrom. She is the Dean of STEM here at HCC. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. So today, we're going to talk about a great STEM Day program that has been here for 4 years, right? This is the fourth annual STEM Day?
Yes.
Okay. But before we get to STEM Day, let's just talk about the STEM program here at HCC so students and the general public can know a little bit about it. How many degree programs does STEM have?
So we have a wide variety of degree programs. We have degrees in biology, chemistry, environmental science, physics, math, obviously, engineering, computer science, various disciplines within engineering. If students are interested in a pre-allied health professions such as physical therapy, nursing, occupational therapy, pharmacy programs. So we have lots of different science courses and some very specific degrees. And then there's also opportunities to sort of craft your own STEM degree for if you have a specific target profession in mind, such as physical therapy.
Okay. So there are degree programs and there are certificate programs, right?
So we currently in our STEM division, we have two certificate programs. We have one that's in biotechnology. We also have one in environmental technology. We have the engineering transfer courses in the STEM division. And there's also an engineering technology certificate that is earned in the business division or the CBAT division. And so computer science transfer program is within the STEM division, and there's some certificate programs in cybersecurity, et cetera, in the business or CBAT division.
Okay, so a wide variety of lots of different
opportunities mm-hmm. for students.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain the difference between the degree and the certificate?
So I can. A degree is... Often, most of our degrees are meant for students who want to transfer to a four-year school, and most of our certificates are for people who want to go right to work. So that's the biggest difference.
Makes sense. Okay, great. I'm glad you cleared that up. All right. For students who want to get into the STEM program, are there scholarships available?
We have a wide variety of scholarships here at HCC. Our premier program is sponsored by the National Science Foundation. It's called the S-STEM Scholarship. It is for any student majoring in any science degree, including computer science and cybersecurity. That scholarship does require financial need. We have a variety of other STEM scholarships that are merit-based, and so you don't have to have financial need. There's a great opportunity on the college website is the entire list of scholarships. If people are specifically interested in the S-STEM scholarship, the contact person for that is Professor Tammy Imbirowitz.
Okay. So STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. So I just have a question for you. How do you feel about the controversial conversations that's going on about like robots and stuff that's taking over, like people?
Are you talking about artificial intelligence?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, so technology is always changing, and what we mean by the word technology changes. So you can actually think of a pen or a pencil as technology relative to what existed prior to that.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so artificial intelligence is something that it's been around for a long time, but it's now starting to find its way into everyday devices. I do think there's some ethics that we have to take into consideration in terms of, you know, how we set these machines up, et cetera. So we have robots that do some jobs in the labor force, but you're always going to need the people who can do the programming and the repair work, et cetera, on the machines themselves. So artificial intelligence it's useful, but it, you know, there's considerations to be made, mm-hmm. you know. So, for example, I'm a biologist. There's a relatively new technology. It's probably 5 or 6 years old now. It's called CRISPR. It actually gives you the ability to edit at the genome level, which we did not have in the past. And obviously that raises a whole series of ethical questions. And so obviously I support technology, but we are developing powerful technologies in our civilization. And so then we also want to create students who are critical thinkers, have our students take some ethics classes, ethics training.
Right.
I would say, you know, one of the things we hear a lot about is I believe it's a false dichotomy that there's some opposition between the STEM curriculum and the humanities curriculum. I think everyone needs to have be well-grounded in both of those things. Our whole society is based much more on technology than it was in the past. And yet, as I said, as we develop these powerful technologies, we have to have the ability to think critically about them, apply them appropriately to the various ethical issues. And, you know, scientifically speaking, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. You know, for example, in the United States of America, it's illegal to clone humans. You know, can you clone humans? That's a scientific process. Should you clone humans? That's an ethical and moral issue. And so science is important and powerful, but it also has to be paired appropriately with, you know, sort of other disciplines such as, you know, philosophy, religion, ethics, as I said, the ability to think critically. So those are my thoughts on that matter.
That's a good answer. So I brought that up because I was having a conversation with one of my colleagues here in the radio station, and we were talking about how all of the commercials and like the movies are showing how like people are robots now, mm-hmm. and how all the robots are kind of desensitized because they're mechanical. And if that really happens in the future, there won't be sensitivity to people. It'll just be like one dimensional.
Right. Well, I mean, again, so I think when you're watching the movies, they are fiction. So we're not there yet. And I hope that we honestly, you know, don't get to that type of situation. And so that's what I'm talking about. You want to think about what you're doing and in terms of how you write programs for machines, computers, robots, whatever you're discussing. But ultimately, you don't want to lose that important piece that makes us human.
Right. And then as you were saying, because I didn't really think about like a lead pencil to a mechanical pencil. But like when you think about it, technology is really advancing.
Yes.
Okay. So off of that subject and back to HCC-centric questions. Mm-hmm. So can we talk about the STEM Day?
Great. So as you mentioned, we have our fourth annual STEM Day scheduled for February 1st, 2020. So that is a Saturday. It is free to all students and the general public. The target audience is current HCC students and also future HCC students that are of high school age. So our keynote speaker is Dr. John Tanacridi, who's from Molloy College in New York. He is the professor of Earth and Environmental Studies and executive director of the Center for Environmental Research and Coastal Oceans Monitoring. He will give a keynote address that will begin at 9 a.m., Our Coastlines Under Siege. The event begins with a light breakfast at 8:30 a.m. And after our keynote address, we will have a variety of sessions for students regarding different research topics in the STEM disciplines. We will also have some student presentations, student posters. We are also inviting people from various organizations that can help with mentoring opportunities for our students. And so it's, and the last event that we have planned is a panel of student alumni. And then we do serve lunch. So the event runs from 8:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. You do need to pre-register at stem@harford.edu just to say that you're coming, how many people are in your party. If you're interested in creating a proposal, then you can also send an email to stem@harford.edu. So local professionals that might be interested in presenting about their STEM career are welcome to submit a proposal to the college, and we will consider that for our program. So it's a great opportunity for our students to learn a little bit more about some specific disciplines, but also learn about how some local STEM professionals went from, you know, themselves, their own journey as students, to the STEM professional that they are today.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about presentation proposals, and when do they have to be into the college?
Well, so the first deadline is coming up pretty soon. It's January 15th. And typically what we do is we have the early deadline of January 15th, and we try to build our program from that. If there's still space, so on a space available basis, we will take proposals after that. So anyone interested should email stem@harford.edu. We also do have a website. So if you go to the STEM webpage for the college, and then there's a link to our specific STEM Day website that talks a little bit more about our keynote speaker, Dr. John Tanacridi.
Okay. And this is, again, February 1st, 2020. Mm-hmm. And you said it's from 8 to 1?
8:30 is a light breakfast. The keynote address will begin at 9 a.m. And it'll be in Aberdeen Hall.
Great. Aberdeen Hall here on Harford Community College's campus.
Correct.
All right. When I was in high school, like, I loved chemistry, but then all of the math and mechanics, I just couldn't get right.
Well, it is challenging. I mean, it's a fascinating topic. many of the disciplines of STEM, it does require, you know, some good attention to detail, some good study skills. It is always a challenge to transition from your high school to your college science classes, and that was a big challenge for me also. And so here on campus, we have the Learning Center to help students with their study skills. We do try to embed some learning about study skills in some of our early introductory science courses. And, you know, realistically, it comes down to self-discipline and practice. So if you want to play the piano, you have to practice.
Right.
If you want to be successful in your STEM classes, you have to practice your math. You have to practice your chemistry. You know, I made a joke with my students. One day I gave them some problems. They're like, we did these problems like this last week. I said, when you play sports, do you tell the coach, hey, we dribbled last week, we're not going to dribble this week? So I think if you apply a sports metaphor to success in your science classes, you have to practice, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours every single week to be successful, to do well in the big game. The same thing applies. You have to really study your topics so that you can be successful on your classroom exams and your, you know, your classroom projects that you're working on. You know, for many students, their favorite part of the science curriculum are the lab opportunities. Mm-hmm. That's when you really are able to do some hands-on things. Here on campus, we have fabulous faculty in our STEM division. They're all experts in their discipline. You know, if you like lab work, we have biomolecular labs. If you like field work, we have Tammy and Beerwitz and Andy Adams teach biology and environmental science. They take their students on lots of field trips.
We had them on too, on here on the Owl's Nest.
Yes, yeah. Yes. In our chemistry, you know, we have Dr. Russ Seidel, who takes students to national conferences to present chemical research that they've done. One of our engineering faculty, Tom Quinovan, was a long-term professional at APG prior to coming here on campus. Our other engineering professor, Lisa Ovelman, has a master's degree from Penn State. And we have another engineering faculty, Dr. Bill Stevens, who also worked at APG. So we have just a really great mix of people here from with great academic backgrounds and great professional backgrounds that feel strongly about student success in STEM. Very supportive faculty here for our students.
Love it. Shout out to HCC STEM department. All right. So is there anything else that you would like to let us know about the STEM department?
Well, as I said, we do have scholarships available. You know, we like to advise our students to help them determine what's going to be the right career pathway for them. And if anyone has just any sort of general questions about the STEM program or our programs or wants an advising appointment, I encourage you to email us at stem@harford.edu.
All right, this is Nasia Creamer here on the Owl's Nest, and we've been talking to Dr. Pamela Pape Lindstrom. She is the Dean of STEM here, and she's given us some great information about STEM, science, math, engineering, technology. Don't forget about STEM Day that's coming up in February. And if you'd like to be a part, please don't hesitate to email and check out the STEM Day on Harford Community College's website. And we thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is Nasia signing out. Until next week.
I'd like to thank all of our guests on the Owl's Nest this week, Bradley Blair, Chesapeake Gallery Coordinator, and Dr. Pamela Pape Lindstrom, Dean of STEM at HCC. And of course, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Until next week, stay curious.